This is 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org. Them Cooley Boys frontman Soren Staff, one of the Eau Claire, Wisconsin-based band's third album to hang together thematically. Like many bands, their first album was everything they had written prior to forming. Their second was mainly leftovers. Ahead of their show Wednesday at the Castle Theater, Staff tells WGLT the songs on the new album were written around the same time with lyrics and sonic ideas that lent themselves to telling a single story.
We have always listened to albums all the way through. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't do that these days, but, you know, that was important to us, that if you sat down and listened to this record, it was going to be an experience and it was all going to come together thematically. So,
well, and you mentioned the sonic quality of the album. You're known as sort of a folk bluegrass, maybe a kind of a newer age folk bluegrass with some rock elements in there.
Did you step inside my head for a minute?
For a genre of music known for foot stomping, rock and roll, you know, it's a fairly subdued album, at least as it starts off.
Well, the record before that literally starts with stomps and claps. We knew that we could get to that point on this record, but we didn't necessarily want to give it to people right away, you know. We've always been a band that has really strived to be very dynamic, almost like cinematic in what we do. Like, you build stuff up and tear it down. And that was kind of the thought process behind Pray You Don't Get Lonely being the first one, because, you know, it starts off so very sparse and contemplative. And then lyrically, it's kind of asking you in, kind of inviting you to listen to the record. And then once the whole band comes in, it's full and happy. And we just thought the dynamic change sonically and lyrically presented itself that way really well.
Since you wanted this to hang together thematically, I'm going to go toward the end of the album now instead of going to the next couple of songs. But Hand of God, parts 2 and 3. Boy, that certainly hints at some bluegrass and folk, but for the most part, it's just a glorious rock song. It's like an anthem.
Maybe the hand of God hangs out in baseball parks, watching the long balls fall into the neighbor's yard.
Why did you sequence this as the second to last song on this 11-song album?
We kind of saw it as something that was going to, like, give an end to the story that we were trying to tell. Earlier in the record, there's the Hand of God part 1. That leads into another song called Only One. Hand of God Part 1, like, introduces this, like, musical theme that we play on the piano. And then these three chords that we play at certain times during the record. We play this, it's like a D, F sharp, minor, and a G. And then we play those, like, in three different songs, like, in sequence. So we wanted to introduce this theme at the beginning of the record to kind of, like, show that, hey, we're going to tell a story here, and this all is connected. So then if you listened all the way through, then when that theme came back in at the end of that song, because part 3 of that song, that theme gets reintroduced again. And we kind of wanted people to hear that and go, oh, so that's what was going on here. Hand of God Part 2 and 3 was one of the first, I think, in the session, that was one of the first few songs that I had an idea about, but it was one of the last songs that we actually finished. It was something we always were thinking about, to kind of, like, tell a whole story with this record. It just came to fruition later in the game than the rest of the songs. But, yeah, that's our favorite song to play live on the record.
Maybe the hand of God does